Radio News, I'm Hope Duggar.
Broadcasting live from the KSHP studios in the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada.
It's time to get on the right side of sports betting. It's time for the Odds Couple.
My name is Scott Pritchard, professional sports bettor handicapper. This show is about sports betting. I'm joined by Brett Grant. Happy Monday.
Great weekend. Happy Monday to you.
A lot of things to talk about. Let's get started with what say you, the sizzling San Antonio Spurs. Wasn't that long ago right here on the Odds Couple? We were talking about, forget the fact that the Lakers had won 7 of 8. Forget the fact the Spurs had lost 7 of 10. We said right here, right now, that the Spurs were a team to be reckoned with simply because for the first time all year, healthy, hungry, annoyed. 4 games later, they swept the Lakers, including the last 2 games in L.A., by 52 points. Can anyone, I don't think, anyone in the West can beat the Spurs. Brett, what say you?
Well, with the recent injury, obviously, to Russell Westbrook as well, you think the Spurs are now a very heavy favorite going in. I guess if you get a Clipper team or a Grizzly team that then takes care of Oklahoma City in round 2 and you get a healthy Clipper team, I think that'd be a great matchup against the Spurs in the Western Conference Finals going through. But obviously, the Lakers were decimated by injuries, decimated by whiners, decimated by prima donnas, and it was a bad team, a bad mix all the way around, a bad year for the Lakers. I think Magic Johnson tweeted about the Encyclopedia Britannica yesterday about how glad he was the season was over. And you know, it might have been what you saw in the Lakers, the worst team I've ever seen in the NBA playoffs in recent memory, with the way they played, what was on the floor. When you consider injuries and you consider ejections and you consider the quality of play, I can't think of a worse playoff team in recent memory.
I think in their defense, and it's not my style to defend the Laker girls, but I have to say that when you're losing your top 4 guards, Kobe Bryant,
right,
and Blake, Nash, Meeks out, Ron Artest, world meta piece. I mean, I'm a world piece. I'm talking about a team that basically finished 16 games under their projected win total. Yes, they had injuries, but hey, that's part of the game. We get that. No one was hit harder with injuries than the San Antonio Spurs, yet they stayed within 1 to 2 games of the top-seeded team, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Timing has a lot to do with it. Unfortunately for the Lakers, they really got banged up late. Kobe Bryant going out with 2 games to go. Whereas the Spurs now are healthy, minus Boris Diaw, who will be back probably in the second round of the playoffs. So, I mean, in defense of the Lakers, tough to win in the playoffs when you're banged up as badly as they were.
Well, that's what I was saying. It might have been the worst thing on the floor we've seen in the playoffs when you take away 4 starters, basically, and then your other starter gets ejected from the game. You're saying, we've got literally nobody left, and they were decimated in the playoffs. But San Antonio on the other side, we both agree, and I know you've got a vested interest in the Spurs. They're very good, and they're very deep, and they have a great coach, and they have great chemistry, and they have great stars, and they get along with each other, and they play hard for each other, and it's more about the Spurs as opposed to more about me. And I think you saw the Lakers with Dwight Howard was all about me and the way his season ended yesterday versus a Spurs team that just was businesslike, get it done, move on to the next round, and figure out who we're going to play, whether that's going to be Denver or whether that'll be Golden State, who has a 3-1 lead in that series. And we'll talk about the Warriors. But the Spurs, and the other thing is, in Miami the same way, get your first round over as the overwhelming number 1 seeded favorite. Get it over with in 4 games. Don't mess around. Let's be healthy. Let's rest. Let's kick back and get ready for our next opponent.
It's a very good point because in the playoffs, obviously, you tighten up the rotation. But, man, you have to kind of watch these games with bated breath simply because an injury could happen any time. So why play 5, 6, 7 games if you can take care of business in 4? Rest is very, very important this time of year, although there's a fine line between rest and rust. Your thoughts on that?
That's a good point. But I think with the Spurs and the Heat, 2 very good veteran teams, I don't think it'll affect either one of those teams. I mean, I think when those coaching staffs and those players get on the floor, whether it's LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, Shane Battier, Ray Allen, I mean, those guys are all grizzled veterans who know how to do it. Same thing on the other side. If I was a young team and I had a lot of distractions where I was, you know, a lot of these guys are established guys, families, wives, hang out with the kids. Hey, I got to go to the office. I'm going to get my workout in. I'm going to get my stuff. If I was a single guys running around with a lot of free time, I might get distracted. But I think these two teams are on a collision course for the finals. I really do.
Well, you look at then, too, a number four seed, the Clippers, taking on a number five Memphis Grizzly team. It looks like these two teams are on a collision course to go the distance, to go seven games. And whoever comes out on top, I still like the Clippers. By the way, we broadcast the Clipper games right here on KSHP AM 1400 radio. The Clippers, if they go seven games, then they have to take on the Oklahoma City Thunder on the road, and then again it really takes its toll over the next 4 to 5 weeks as these teams try to get to and win the Western Conference Finals.
No, that's a good point. And I think the one thing about the Clippers is they're a young team. And if you look at a young team, I don't think it'll affect them as much as it might the Spurs if they had to go on the road and play deep series. So I don't look at that as a huge disadvantage. I mean, obviously you want to play as few of games as possible. The interesting thing in this particular series is that the home team has won all four games. And if it stays that way, then we are looking at a game seven on Sunday of next week in Los Angeles if the form holds true from what we've seen so far in that series. And quite frankly, it's been really the only series that has had any drama from the standpoint of a 2-2 after four games. The other series are all lopsided right now or over already. You know, we've got 3-1, a couple of 3-1s. We do have a 2-1 with game four coming up with Indiana tonight. But otherwise, it's 3-0, 4-0, 4-0, 3-1, 3-1. And it's really been kind of a yawner for the first round of the playoffs, don't you think?
Oftentimes, that is the case because you have mismatches. 1-8, 2-7, 3-6. We have an exception in the Western Conference with the Warriors taking on the Nuggets. We'll talk about that in just a second. You are listening to The Odds Couple. We're live in Worldwide Vegas Video Network, KSHP AM 1400 radio right here in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. My name is Scott Pritchard, professional sports bettor handicapper featured on VegasInsider.com, my site PritchardsPicks.com. Tim Donaghy, former NBA official, has a site now. He reached out to me a couple of weeks ago. I'm one of the featured handicappers on his site. It's called RefPicks.com. I'm joined by the general manager of KSHP, AM 1400 radio, Brett Grant. Always good to have you with us. Let's talk about the Golden State Warriors, a pleasant surprise or an unpleasant surprise, depending upon what side of the coin you're flipping here. My good buddy Anthony Padilla, a couple of weeks ago, went on record. He says so many outrageous things, and it's annoying because oftentimes he's right. Number three, Denver, taking on number six, Golden State. Now, you touched on the fact, you know, I have a vested interest in the San Antonio Spurs. I've been singing a song about the Spurs for the past couple of months. I have them at +2.5, +250 to win the Western Conference, and more money at +220. The idea here is, if you're a Spurs fan, would you rather play a number three seed Denver or a number six seed Golden State without David Lee? The idea here is it certainly helps my cause big time. I'll be a bigger favorite against the Warriors than I would against the Nuggets. But my good buddy Anthony Padilla went on record as saying, hey, I think the Warriors as a six seed, they're going to knock off the Denver Nuggets. I said, are you out of your mind? He said, well, listen, if the Warriors win, will you shave your head? I said, of course I'll shave my head. But now, I wasn't nervous until last night. Now, even though I want the Warriors to win, it helps my financial situation, but it hurts my social calendar.
Well, that's for sure. The question is, can you negotiate it down to a crew cut? Can you get a George Carl mask? He's got no hair, right? Can you blame George Carl for this? I mean, You got to find some way of negotiating your way out of it.
I just paid $100 to get the haircut with the highlights, and now within a week, it's all going to be for naught. Unless I can coerce Anthony Padilla, maybe a cash buyout, a few hundred dollars or maybe $20 for him.
Can you tell me you have a very embarrassing scar that you're covering up? Something to avoid this.
I'm going
to
at least try. That's all I can do. But stay tuned for details. The Warriors, hey, what a great story. This team, I'm telling you, these two teams mirrored each other from the standpoint they like to run and gun. They turn it into a track meet. It doesn't bode well in the playoffs, but The Warriors, as good as they are, they struggled on the road, but yet they went to Denver. They lost by two. And then in game two, they won straight up. They came back home and held serve. They won both games at home. The Nuggets, George Karl, what is going on? I mean, history has a way of repeating itself, but knowing that they only lost three home games the entire season, they struggled on the road, the Nuggets, but George Karl does what George Karl does. He creates a lot of wins during the course of the regular season, but come playoff time, they run and hide.
Well, now he's got to win three in a row, and they should have won game three up big at halftime. And fell apart, and Steph Curry was absolutely fantastic in both the games in Golden State and in Oakland. 31 yesterday, 6 of 11 for 3, 10 of 16 from the floor, and they're doing it with a three-guard lineup. They took David Lee, obviously he was injured, and they said, you know what, we could replace him and put Carl Landry into the starting rotation, but we're going to leave him on the bench. We're going to put Jarrett Jack instead into that lineup. 21 for Jack yesterday, 31 for Curry. Klay Thompson had 13. You're getting 64 points from those three guys yesterday. That's a tough matchup. Now, that'll change if they advance in game, in the second round, I should say, if they have to play San Antonio. They'll have to put Landry, I would think, into that rotation going through. But even Landry yesterday, 17 points coming off the bench was terrific for them. And it's not like Denver's playing poorly. Golden State's just playing better right now. So what do? You got game five back at home, and you just have to win at home, and you got to find a way to win game. You got to take this to cliche it, one game at a time. But when your backs are against the wall, you're in big trouble down 3-1. A team like the Giants in the National League playoffs last year in the championship series, down 3-1 to the Cardinals, and suddenly their offense just exploded, and they played great defense, pitched well, but they got great offense. Something's got to change for Denver because they can't stop Golden State, and you have to be able to play defense to be able to win playoff series, and they haven't done it in three straight games.
The Warriors up yesterday 2-1, but the Nuggets were still favored to win that series. That's why I wasn't all that concerned about losing my hair. But today, different story. 3-1. Brett, as you mentioned, the Nuggets have to win three consecutive games. That's a tall order. The fact is the Golden State Warriors now are a big favorite to knock off the Denver Nuggets. But if you look at this thing objectively, the Nuggets, tremendous home court team, as long as they win the next game, it's going to come down to game five, which is the next game. That's always pivotal.
Right.
They basically will have to win one road game where, again, there'll be a 1-2-point favorite. That's the game. Game six, because they're the road team
right. In
this scenario. Game seven, they should probably win. So it's just, as you say, one game at a time. We've heard that a million times, but it really is true. The fact is the Nuggets get to play two of the last three games in Denver where they've lost three times the entire series. It's going to come down to game six Oakland.
Well, they turned the ball over 23 times yesterday, and that was part of their problem. But fact is they gave up home court advantage by losing game two. And if you can't win a game back on the other side, doesn't matter if you had home court advantage. Right now, Golden State has home court advantage. All Golden State has to do is win game six at home, where they are very good, and Denver is a bad road team. So you talk about the big favorite in the series right now, it's Golden State. Now, if Golden State loses game six, then it shifts way back into Denver's
to where Denver favorite, will be a big favorite. They'll be favored by seven or eight points.
But
in
it wouldn't shock me to see Golden State go in and win game five either with the way they're playing. But from a Golden State standpoint, you've got to have in your back of your mind the luxury of knowing, hey, back here at home, we're in good shape.
If the Nuggets hold serve at home in game five, they're still going to be a small favorite in game six. But again, to ask that you win three consecutive games, again, there's a reason now why the Warriors are a huge favorite. They only need to win one game out of the next three. I do want to back up just for a second. You mentioned Magic Johnson somewhat throwing the Lakers under the bus. It's easy to do that when they've struggled and they've been hit with injuries. I'm a little bit annoyed with Magic Johnson because I remember I instantly thought back when you were talking about this to when the Lakers were playing the Portland Trailblazers and I had a big, fat future on the Blazers. To win the NBA title would have been a huge favorite. Whoever won between the Lakers and the Blazers back, I'm guessing, 10, 11, 12 years ago, the Blazers were up 13 points. Game 7 in L.A., I'm looking good, I'm feeling good. And they interviewed Magic Johnson. He said, I can't believe this Laker team. This is an embarrassment. Game 7, our home court. This team is just underachieving, this, that, and the other. They came back to win the game, went on to kick Indiana's butt. It wasn't so much what the Lakers did. It was that Rasheed Wallace was settling for jumpers instead of going to the basket, and the missing free throws, just annoying. I mean, grow a pair and go hard to the basket as opposed to settling for outside jumpers. You're up 13 points, just go to the basket. So I just thought of that because Magic Johnson tends to overstate the obvious. You know, again, after the fact or when the team's really struggling, he'll kick you when you're down. I don't really appreciate
that. So he's a front runner.
I absolutely.
And he's a bandwagon guy getting off it. And yeah, it's a good point. And it's easy to kick a team when they're down. Now, the interesting thing to me is as we go into the post, into the offseason with the Lakers, if you're Dwight Howard, do you stay with Los Angeles realizing that Kobe Bryant probably won't be back? And if he is, he won't be the same. And looking at the rest of that roster that is old, not very good. I don't think even the young guys are not very good. And I don't care how much money they're going to give you. Is that a place where you think you can be successful?
If you're asking me what I would do, I would certainly stay in L.A. It's a mecca. It's a storied franchise. No team can pay you more. So we say it's not about money, but ultimately if the Lakers are going to offer you $30 million more than anyone else, it's a no-brainer. So having said that, I would stay, which probably means that Dwight Howard will seek elsewhere.
Well, if I'm Dwight Howard, I'm leaving because I don't think that I'll ever find what I'm looking for in L.A., in the fact, number one, if he wants an NBA championship, I don't think the Lakers are very close to one, quite frankly. So who out there is that needs me? How about the Houston Rockets?
Maybe it's not the Orlando Magic that's the problem. Maybe it's not the Lakers that are the problem. Maybe it's Dwight that's the problem here.
He is
the common denominator.
I agree.
Because I say this because I've been married and divorced twice. I'm starting to think it's not marriage. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm the common denominator.
You're a two-time loser.
Hey, now, that's a bit harsh.
I'm sorry.
The truth hurts.
But hey, this is the NBA. It is the all-about-me league
that goes into it.
And it's all about rings. And if I'm Dwight Howard, I'm thinking, why do I want the grief of being in L.A.? Is he going to get the endorsements and all that kind of stuff? Is the Superman thing? It is L.A., and I understand the potential is there. But if it's about championships, I'm thinking Houston's a pretty cool place for me to go. A team that's won championships and has a great core of young players. When you look at what Jeremy Lin's doing, you look at, obviously, with James Harden there now, they don't really have a monster center in a spot. I think that's a decent spot for him to think about, or at least I don't think it's a slam dunk that he's going to stay in Los Angeles. I think there's options out there for him.
Absolutely. In fact, I think most people would agree with your assessment, but I'm saying if you're asking me, if I was Dwight Howard, I would definitely stay in L.A. because no team's going to pay me more.
Well,
it is the Lakers.
But it's about money, and California has lots of taxes. Texas has lots of no taxes.
I've heard that. So, but if you look at the Houston Texans, I mean, not the Houston Texans, I think it's the Rockets, right? They're still the Rockets? Right, okay.
You think he can play wide receiver opposite Andre Johnson for the Houston Texans? He could go get some jump balls, couldn't he?
I think that with the Houston Rockets, as much as I like James Harden and as much as I like Jeremy Lin, I'm not sold on their coach. I'm not a big Kevin McHale fan. I mean, I love Kevin McHale.
But McHale likes big guys, right? He's a big guy coach.
So does Jason Collins, okay? Jason Collins came out as the openly first gay. Well, he went on record as saying he's the first openly gay player in the NBA, and that's not even accurate. It's not.
All right.
It's not even accurate. John Amici came out in 2007. What?
Not the guy from Cocoon, not Don Amici.
No. Okay. John, the guy from Penn State who was a journeyman player. Now, Jason Collins plays in the NBA, but he had one more rebound and one more point this year than you had.
Exactly.
So why are we talking about this guy?
We're talking
about him because it's a story. He's the first, but he's not even the first openly gay guy to come out. John Amici was in 2007.
Did Amici do it before he retired, or did he do it after he retired?
I don't know if there was a difference. I couldn't tell if he was actually.
I think this guy's the first guy to be an active player.
Yeah, I think
okay,
he's
the first active player.
I think Amici wasn't active.
Okay, but again, I even dispute that. How active can you be if, again, I mean, not to take anything away from you, Brett. I know you're a pretty decent player, but again, this guy averaged 1 point, one rebound, which is one more than what Brett averaged. So I guess. Active.
I invented the running one-hander. The thing that Seth Curry's doing all over the Steph Curry's that was me.
I'm not surprised.
Do you see some of the acrobatic shots he put up in game 3 and 4? It's amazing.
Well, it's acrobatic when he's wide
open. It's
like
he's playing horse.
Well, he is. He's playing
it's
against
awesome.
The Denver Matador defense. Are you kidding me? I mean, they're shooting 63, 60, 52%. I mean, the guy can shoot. It's like, have you not studied the film? Maybe contest a shot now and again, Denver Nuggets. I mean, they have no star player, the Nuggets. They didn't have a single all-star on that team, but I love their team concept. They attack the paint, but Mark Jackson has outcoached George Karl like you wouldn't believe because they pack it in. They play a high school
zone.
That'd
be like me posting up a four-year-old. I mean, yes, it's a mismatch. We understand that. Back to the Collins story real quick. And I don't really care one way or the other. But I don't define people by their sexuality. I just don't get this as being a huge monster deal.
I couldn't care
less.
As players,
you judge guys by how well they play on the floor.
Right.
Nobody judges you by whether or not what you do in your private life when you go home. If you turn out to be a mass murderer, okay. That's
now
a
we have
different.
A concern. Yeah, exactly. But I couldn't care less if he dates men or women.
I don't care.
I do want to know from a handicapping standpoint, can you step up a little bit, Jason, and average more than 1 point, one rebound? He's an active player. Are you sure he's active?
Well,
how active is that?
Here's the interesting thing about the story. He finished the year, I think, in Washington, right? And now he's a free agent. Literally, in every sense of the word, he's a free agent. So the question is, will he have a job in the NBA next year, not because of his coming out of the closet, because of his production on the court, he wasn't productive or not. And if he doesn't get a job, will it be in the media because he came out? There's an interesting dynamic here that is, here's a guy who's very unproductive on the floor, who might have been a guy who might not be signed next year. And now if he doesn't get signed next year, is it because he came out of the closet or is it because he wasn't very good on his team?
I don't think you can sign him as a basketball player based on his ineffectiveness on the court, one rebound, 1 point per game. But the media will hire anyone. I mean, Ray Lewis, for crying out loud, is now going to be one of the main men for ESPN. Are you kidding me?
Right.
I mean, really, are you kidding me? I really don't want to listen. I've heard enough about Ray Lewis over the past 17 years.
The only good thing about Ray Lewis, if he's actually in the broadcast booth, they won't necessarily show lots of pictures of him anymore. It'll be his voice as opposed to him dancing all the time, you know, and standing out there at center court or at the 50-yard line. But I think he's going to be a studio analyst, which is good because I don't watch any of those shows anyway.
Good for
so
you.
So I can avoid it.
You and me both.
Yeah. I mean, once they put Michael Irvin in there, I'm thinking, no. Remember back a few years ago when they hired Eric Dickerson to be a sideline reporter for Monday Night Football? The man can't speak. It is broadcasting, and if you can't put two words together and speak a coherent sentence, Joe Namath, drunk, was better than some of these guys was. And, you know, we talked about Joe Namath last week, but Eric Dickerson could not put a sentence together. Give me Dennis Miller. I loved Dennis Miller in the booth. He's funny. He was hilarious. I didn't care that he didn't know anything about football. I enjoyed listening to Tony Kornheiser. People didn't like that part of it. Those guys were wordsmiths. I don't need former jocks who can't speak. It's broadcasting.
It is broadcasting, but with Dennis Miller, again, he didn't play well. I'm not a big fan. I like the fact that he's articulate. Right. You can understand what he says, but he was too far out there. He tried to be too clever. It's a football game, okay?
I know. He was too good for the average audience, intelligence of the audience. I think Dennis Miller is absolutely hilarious. I understand many, not all. I understand a lot of his jokes. Every once in a while I have to go, what did he just say? Hang on a second. Where's Google? What did he say? But I do enjoy his humor.
I saw Dennis Miller perform at the Orleans right here in Las Vegas, and as much as I can appreciate his humor because it is clever, but I was surprised that people paid money, not me, but other people paid money to watch this guy, and he had a notepad on a lectern that he referred to 90% of the time. That's disrespecting the audience, especially you're a trained professional, act like one.
Is it any different than a musical group with their set list? They can't remember their 12 songs they're going to play in their 3 hours?
That reminds me of...
I saw him at the old Desert Inn, and I don't recall that part of it, but I do recall enjoying the evening because I thought he was pretty good.
Well, here's what you have, though. There's a difference because that's a subtle. I saw the Rolling Stones, fourth row, 20,000 fans, MGM Grand, face value of the ticket, $472. My good buddy Steve, who might be calling in today, we had four comp tickets to see the Rolling Stones, but I'm thinking he's still sleeping. He's not going to be up before the crack of 4 p.m. would be my guess when the games go off. But he's an expert when it comes to the NFL draft, so I did want to have him on the show. If not today, maybe tomorrow. But Yeah, so I was watching the Rolling Stones fourth row, MGM Grand, a few years ago, and they had their set on the floor. So I could right. tell you exactly what song they were going to play. So at least there's a difference there, my friend, because that's just kind of a point of reference. So Mick and the boys, everyone's on the same page, right. literally. Whereas Dennis Miller kept going to the lectern and going to, okay, what joke is next? What am I going to talk about right. next? It's like, come on, man.
It might have been a fresh set. He just put it all together.
That's fine. That's fine. That's great. New material is great. But can you not rehearse an hour and 50? Look at what we do every right. day. This is every single word that we're doing is rehearsed.
It's all. Hang on. What page are we on?
What day is it?
Turn the page. You know, I remember watching. It was VH1 when they did the acoustic versions. I forget what they called it. And they had REM doing the acoustic.
Unplugged.
Thank you. And REM was there. And I love REM. And here comes Michael Stipe. And they're doing Fall on Me, which is one of their best songs. And he's got on a lectern. He has the lyrics. The lyrics to the song. And then here comes It's the End of the World, and he has the lyrics. It's one thing to have the set list. He's literally turning the page. 6 o'clock TV hour, don't get caught, Foreign Tower, Slash and Burn, Return.
He's got that really surprises me. Yeah. It's highly unprofessional. I will say the downside to that is I saw Don Rickles at the Orleans maybe a year ago, and Don Rickles, if you get the chance, friends, see this guy perform. He's absolutely hilarious. But he was 84 years old at the time. This was a year or two ago, and he was talking about, yeah, my buddy Frank Sinatra walked in one day and this and that, and he's sharing a story. And then 20 minutes later, he said, my friend Frank Sinatra one day walked in, and then halfway through he realized someone must have said something in his earpiece. He said, I apologize. Did I already just share this story? So it was kind of sad, right. but at least he has the courage at age 84 to go up there without any notes.
That's true. Or memory.
Well, apparently. But I mean, but Dennis Miller really right. surprised me that he would. And we actually saw, I know Scott Whitney, the executive producer, came down to the comedy show at LA Comedy Club, Judy Carter, who is a famous comedian. She doesn't perform all that much today, but she's a very good teacher of comedy. She wrote that book that most comics have read, The Comedy Bible. But I know you, Scott Whitney, very surprised that she came out and referred to notes brutal. The entire time.
Yeah, that was brutal. I will say I saw Dennis Miller in 2000 with... who's that little comedy guy who's on long hair? Anyways, Dennis Miller was awesome.
Is that right?
He was amazing. He had no notes. He was amazing. Now, right. the whole note thing, I think that's a problem.
So right, for an hour and 20 minutes.
We can actually see you if we want to. See, you mentioned Scott's name. He shows up on television. There he is. Oh, this camera, Scott. This camera.
Oh, that's my
there you hi. Yeah. Hi, everybody.
I need to be seen. But, the gal who wrote the comedy
Judy
Bible,
Carter, yeah.
And I read the book. So when she was up there, I'm like, this should be fascinating.
Right.
And she literally looked at the notes the whole time. I just thought that was terrible. Just terrible.
Well, and comics will tell you, too, she kind of came out in a funky outfit with long striped.
It was brutal.
Shorts and socks. And it's a hack move because, again, you can come out with a funny hat and a funky nose, but you're not funny. The hat and the nose. You get cheap. You'll get laughs, but it's cheap. It's considered
hack.
Did Dennis
Miller get laughs when he was when you
he
saw
did.
Him?
He did. But that was because
laughs,
he. That's
when we saw him, he got amazing. I mean, huge laughs.
Well, I wouldn't say huge, but I mean, it's a pretty good venue, good size room at the Orleans. But
God, what's that little guy's name? Like surfer hair, long hair. You know what I'm talking about? He's on a TV show now. He was good. He plays Venetian all the time.
I don't know.
I got to go now.
All right. Well, okay. Hey, thanks for coming in. Scott Whitney, executive producer. He's the man who makes everything happen here. Vegas Video Network and KSHP AM 1400 Radio. I see that. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Have you ever thought you should be on the radio? Or have you considered doing an online video show or podcast? If so, now is your only chance to do both at the same time. KSHP and the Vegas Video Network have teamed up to provide the only multi-camera broadcast quality video and live radio simulcast in Las Vegas. And instead of having your show played at some ungodly hour, the KSHP Vegas Video Network partnership is producing shows that play from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. Imagine having your own radio show broadcasting to the entire Las Vegas Valley, and combine that with an online presence that is viewed in all 50 states and 150 countries, both live and on demand. This is a first and an outstanding opportunity to give voice to your business, your ideas, and your talent. If you'd like your own show on KSHP and the Vegas Video Network, Contact us today at 221-1200. That's 221-1200.
Welcome back to The Odds Couple on Vegas Video Network. We're live and worldwide. KSHP AM 1400 Radio. Scott Pritchard alongside Brett Grant. We would love for you to reach out to us on the show. A number of ways you can do that. Email us at oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. That's oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. Also, through web-based voicemail, we'd love to hear your voice on our show. Go to our site, Vegas Video Network. On the right-hand side, there's a red bar. Click there. Middle of the page, a green bar. Hit Start Recording. Also, we field live chat questions. We have the studio line open at 702-221-7283. If you have any questions in regards to sports, namely sports betting, 702-221-7283. If you do miss us live, no worries. Reach out to us, Vegas Video Network, iTunes, in addition to that, YouTube, and Roku. Now, where do you find frustration when it comes to sports or sports betting? You don't have to look far. Are you kidding me?
Is it my? I'm going first?
You're up.
All right. I must have missed the memo because we're not following our proper agenda.
We're making it up as we go along.
Mine's not necessarily in the gambling aspect of it today, but it has to do with the NFL draft. People talk about and try to tell me and convince me that the Big Ten is better than the SEC. We see that year in and year out where people talk about how great, we see with our eyes how great the SEC is. And then people try to convince me that otherwise. The SEC, Scott, through three rounds of the NFL draft, had 32 of the 97 players chosen came and played from the SEC. At the end of the draft, there were 63 players, a new record, taken from the SEC. By comparison, take Alabama, take the four best teams from the SEC, compare them to the four best teams last season from the Big Ten. Alabama, LSU, Florida, and Georgia. Those four teams, well, Bama had 9, LSU had 9, Georgia had 8, and Florida had 8. 34 players from those four schools. The top four from the Big Ten, Michigan, Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Nebraska, those were the four best last year, had a grand total of 9 players. 34 to 9. There's a monster difference. So people who try to tell me that the Big Ten is as good as the SEC, are you kidding me?
Very interesting statistic, 34 to 9. It's like the SEC is the mini version of the NFL.
Well, Michigan, who played a January 1 bowl game. Remember the big hit that Clowney had on Denard, or the running back? The only player from Michigan, the only one drafted, was Denard Robinson, who probably won't have much of a career in the National Football League. Do you agree? I mean, he's not going to play his position, which is a quarterback. He'll be a running back or a wide receiver. We'll see if he has a career or not. Ohio State, undefeated last year. 3 players drafted from the Ohio State University. That's another thing. Are you kidding me? Enough of that. Does Gordon G walk around going, "I'm the president. I'm G from the Ohio State University"? Enough of that already.
We've heard enough, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, we're... Before we get to my "Are you kidding me?" I understand we have a live chat question. Scott, what do you have, young man?
First of all, Brett's on fire today.
Brett's in a zone
because he took notes. Steve wants to know, what does Scott P. think about Jose Valverde returning to the Tigers?
You know, I think that the Tigers are showing way too much loyalty. This guy single-handedly just about cost them the pennant a year ago, and now they welcome him back. Why would you reward negative behavior? I don't understand that.
There was a great video clip from The Office where Steve Carell's character was asked a question, and he's just screaming, "No! No! God, no!" That's what Tiger fans were doing when they heard about Jose Valverde coming back. Did you see him come out of the bullpen yesterday?
I did not.
Spits left, spits right, spits in the middle, dances around, and goes out, and he didn't blow a save because they're up by 5 runs, but... Is there nobody in your farm system?
I'm guessing. That has to be the case because this team, this Tiger team, they're starting pitching outstanding. They can hit with the best of you 1 through 9. But to bring Valverde back, that was the weakness. We know that middle relief in their bullpen is questionable on their best day, but you got rid of the dead weight. Why would you bring him back? That would be like one of my two ex-wives saying, "Yeah, you know what? Scott wasn't such a bad guy after all. Let's give him another shot."
Well, it's like you had your memory washed away. I mean, Jim Leland, maybe he is like like Don Rickles, doesn't remember what happened last season. But Jose Valverde was just the opposite of good. He was horrible last year. And when you have a pitcher who gives you a great seven innings and you have the lead going into the ninth, and then you bring this guy in who, in your pitching staff, you have to think of your 11-man pitching staff, is number 11 in your pitching staff, and you're responsible for him to find the final three outs of a game, and it's not happening. Talk about a guy who should have been released or sent somewhere else. I don't understand it at all.
Well, we appreciate the question coming from Steve on live chat. Now, if one day, somehow, some way, my buddy Steve can reach out via the when he gets out of bed, which should be about 3 hours after we go off the air, I would like to talk to him about the NFL draft. But as far as are you kidding me, for my segment, it's Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard, the self-proclaimed Shaq or the self-proclaimed Superman, led this team, this Laker team, to 16 less wins than their projected win total come playoff time. Now, he's the leader. He's the man. Why? Because Kobe went down. So Dwight Howard, a chance to showcase his skills, his talent as a leader. A good leader leads by example. A good leader influences others. A good leader services others. This guy did none of the above. In the must-win game, Lakers backs against the wall. The one thing they had going for them yesterday, they were at home. A time to man up. Dwight Howard, what does he do? Technical in the first half does not help your team. Whining, crying, complaining. You're a man amongst boys. Whining, they're fouling me. They're fouling me. Get over it. In 20 minutes of time, he attempted two field goals. And with about 10 minutes to go in the third quarter, tangled up, argued the call, they teed him up, tossed him. Dwight Howard, are you a man or a mouse? Are you kidding me?
Well, if you were a passenger and you went to get on the bus and Dwight Howard was the bus driver, I'd get off the bus.
No doubt.
Because you're right. Wrong guy, wrong spot. But I thought the second technical was very ticky-tacky. It's a playoff game. It's the NBA. The referees need to have a little thicker skin than that. I mean, guys are going to bark at you. I mean, come on. Michael Jordan used to scream at referees and never get technicals called on him. And he rode those guys like crazy. Now, I'm not comparing Dwight Howard to Michael Jordan. But at the same time, superstars in the NBA do get special treatment. And watching the second technical, all he did was turn around and basically say, it's about time. And they teed him up for that. That was very quick to me that you tossed him out of the game. Now, should he have been in that situation? That's a different story. But again, the Lakers weren't going to win the game. They weren't going to win the series. He didn't have a chance. I don't put a lot on Dwight Howard. I know, again, Magic Johnson tweeting, and Stephen A. Smith, who drives me absolutely bonkers with his, basically calling him a punk yesterday. And I talked to 25 players in the league, and they all, to a man, said that Dwight Howard was a punk. Well, the Lakers weren't going to beat the Spurs once, more twice, nor three times, and no chance in you-know-what of it happening four times. It was just a matter of time before the Spurs finished them off. So the technical, to me, was not really a big deal. I'm more upset about the fact that the referees had such thin skin about it. I mean, come on, it's the playoffs. You have to be able to take a little bit back from the players.
I would agree with that. I will respectfully disagree with the Michael Jordan comparison because guards are a little bit different. If you're a man-child playing a man's game in the low post and you're whining because some guy's physically a little more of a man than you are, that's a problem. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar did not whine, cry, and complain. Wilt Chamberlain did not whine, cry, and complain. And I didn't actually think Michael Jordan complained that much. He never, hardly ever fouled out. He hardly ever received a technical. That's because he was a man. Cool, calm, collected, taking it like a man instead of whining, crying, complaining to the officials.
But they had a book called The Jordan Rules. They don't have the Howard Rules as of yet. So Michael did get special treatment, no question about
Every
it.
Every all-star does.
Right.
But it can also work against you if you're only seeing it one way. Now, I mean, Kobe Bryant would always get the benefit of the call. Kevin Durant in today's game gets the benefit of the call, but that's because he's done his due diligence. He's a marquee player. He's great for the league, especially at home. If you look at Kevin Durant, it's going to be called a foul. No different than if you're in L.A. when Kobe's playing and or at Chicago Stadium when Michael Jordan was playing.
But if Kobe doesn't get the call, he's barking at the officials.
He's always begging for the call by making a noise. I mean, he's always doing that, which I think is
And he gives them the look and the scowl. I mean, you agree that the second technical is very ticky-tack.
I absolutely do. Okay. I do. But I think also the fact that he's constantly – I mean, he's up there every year, Dwight Howard, with Tex.
Right.
And it always annoyed me with Rasheed Wallace that I just – one of my least favorite NBA players of all time, Rasheed Wallace. I just can't forgive him for not going to the basket and leading the Portland – I mean, you're up 13 points game seven right. against the Lakers. I know I should move on. It's been 12 years, but that was worth a lot of – I had a big, fat future on the Blazers, man.
Get over it.
Are you easy for you to say. Well, I refuse to let it go, but I'm not bitter.
All right. He's sour.
All right. So you're listening to The Odds Couple on Vegas Video Network. We're live and worldwide. This is very exciting. We're simulcasting live on KSHP AM 1400 radio in Las Vegas, Nevada. Scott Pritchard, PritchardsPicks.com, VegasInsider.com, RefPicks.com, Brett Grant, GM of KSHP. We have the studio line open, 702-221-7283. Keep those questions coming. This is the part of the show I'm going to bring in the big fat wheel, spin to win. We have the Thunder taking on the Houston Rockets. Thunder up 3-0. They're a 1.5-point favorite against the Rockets tonight, playing without Russell Westbrook. This is the part of the show where we promote objectivity. Emotions cloud judgment. Think with your head, not with your heart. Successful sports bettors think with an objective reality. I'm going to spin the wheel. It's either going to land on the Thunder or the Rockets. I will go first. I will make an argument for that team. Brett automatically has to promote and sell the other team because a smart bettor knows that you have to make an opinion for either team before you step up to the bet window. Ultimately, to warrant a bet for me, I have to have a strong opinion tied in with the fact I have to get a half point, point and a half minimum, the best of it. Let's spin to win. We have the Thunder on the road taking on the Houston Rockets.
And you get the former Houston Oilers.
All right.
Houston Rockets.
I get the Houston
Love you,
Rockets.
Blue. Are you gonna see, I want to see you hear you sing the whole song, Bump Phillips. Let's go. You kind of look like Bump Phillips a little bit in his younger days.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Put on that 10-gallon hat.
What next?
Which John
Goodman?
Really good when you don't have any hair.
All right. Well, this has turned into the Brett Grant comedy show. And I
try the veal. I'm here till Thursday.
You're here all week until Thursday.
Exactly.
Well, I've got the Houston Rockets tonight, I guess, plus 1.5. Wow. It's nice that the sports books are going to give me a 1.5. I don't need the points. Don't want the points. The Rockets will win this game straight up. Why? First of all, I want to call out Kendrick Perkins. Kendrick Perkins, are you a man or a mouse? It's the second time I've made that reference here, but it applies because Beverly, the star rookie for the Houston Rockets, they're pointing at him saying that he's the reason, and maybe so. You know, Russell Westbrook is out, but there was no intent there. There wasn't even a foul called. So what does Kendrick Perkins do against the little guard, right. The little rookie, really? You're going to make a statement in the first 20 seconds of a game by setting an illegal pick? Come on. I'd like to see him do that against a man as opposed to a rookie point guard.
Yeah, and I watched the show Friday, and Anthony was trying to make a case for the fact that he was calling a timeout, that Russell Westbrook was in the midst of calling a timeout. I watched that play after that about 10 times. No way. Do I buy that he was calling a timeout? I have no problem with what Beverly was doing, trying to steal the ball, reaching in, as looked to me like Westbrook was going to cut back the other direction, perhaps. I didn't see any intent that he was going to call a timeout in that regard. And it just happened.
It's
accidents,
unfortunate.
Accidents happen.
It's a
they
part of the game.
They kind of bumped into each other. It happens.
Russell Westbrook, on the other side of the coin, has done that same play countless times where he tries to steal the ball or out-juke
right.
the guy before they – you know,
he
I know,
have
everyone
both hands
knew.
The ball. Even.
Everyone knew that he was going to call a timeout, but all you need to do is check out Andre Miller of the Denver Nuggets because he's notorious for coming across, slowing – and then not calling the timeout, going in for an uncontested
right.
layup. So it's part of the game. It's unfortunate that Westbrook got hurt, and I'm surprised that Westbrook reacted the way that he did. Not, I mean, it's one thing to be upset that you got hurt. To point the finger and blame it on Beverly blatantly is just wrong. I expect Beverly to come back strong tonight for the Houston Rockets. He did not play well in Game 3, a game that the Rockets had won. They're up late in the fourth. Durant hit a big three. They're down two. He hit a three that popped out, came back in. Congratulations to the Thunder. But we've talked about this how many times, Brett? how a team, a star player goes down, gets hurt, the team will rally around, have a great effort. We saw that. They barely won as a 1.5-point favorite. They won by 3. The game opened 3, went one the other way by the time the game tipped off.
They were up, what, 21 or so, right?
Well, they were up, I believe, 15 in the fourth quarter.
Right. And that's one of the great things about in-game betting. Do you do in-game betting? Because
in-game betting, I used to until Station Casinos turned into a bunch of whores. It's minus 10 cents, okay? That's what it is. But why? So why would you? LVH would give you a fair shake, minus 10 cents either way, and that's great. Inline in-game betting is fun. It is. And it can be profitable. But Station Properties this past year, because they were losing, went from minus 10 to minus 15. You cannot bet. It's challenging enough to be right 11 times out of 21 to break even. Now it's minus 15 cents. It's a 30-cent line, and people bet into it. You can't do that. You cannot do that. And so, no, I refuse. At Station Properties, I bet a lot at Station Properties because I find disparity. I find value in their lines, but they limit you to $500 on a total, but that's fine. 3 to 5 bets a day, $500 a pop, it adds up at the end of the week.
Sure.
But as far as in-game betting, I will not, and you shouldn't either. If you respect your money, do not bet at Station Properties because they're laying 15 cents. Why would you lay 15 cents when at LVH, compliments of Jay Carnegie, it's 10 cents?
That's a good point, and a lot of people don't realize that. I was going to mention the fact they got Houston plus 15 points in that game, and they're going, well, this is you know the Rockets were going to make a run at some point, and the game was going to get a lot closer. When the original line was 1.5, as you said, and it ends up you're getting now 15 points instead of plus 1.5. We're getting an extra 14 points, basically. It seemed like a lot of value in that particular spot.
The value has nothing to do with what – and that's where people get into trouble. They think, wow, I'm getting 15 points, but the line's only 1.5 for the game. But yeah, well, you're down 20. That you don't want to look at it like that. That's a very amateur way to look at it. The way you want to look at it is more educated would be, hey, wow, the Oklahoma City Thunder are on the road. They're not there to win by more than 15 points. Houston, they're embarrassing themselves. You know they're going to make a run. And plus the Thunder have a weak bench, especially now that right. Westbrook is out. So that would lend itself to taking plus the 15 points. But even having said that, I would not lay 15 cents. I would lay 10 cents. Why lay 15 when you can lay 10 cents?
No, I don't do it with the company you were talking
right
about.
Right on. Right. But I'm talking about right. The Houston Rockets, I have to make an argument for this team. So I think the fact that they're at home, the fact that they had the game won and they let it slip away, I like the Houston Rockets tonight to win the game straight up against the Thunder.
Well, on the other side, Thunder up 3-0, trying to close it out. And I think it's a very important game for them because if they do lose, then doubt starts to creep into their mind about finishing off the Rockets. And you don't want the Rockets to get any momentum going forward, thinking that they might be able to go into OKC and win Game 5 and then go back home and win Game 6. And suddenly what might be a sweep turns into a much longer series for Oklahoma City. So I think it's very important for them. I thought Reggie Jackson, who filled in for Russell Westbrook, did very well in Game 3. I think he had 14 points, filled in very nicely. Cephalosha played a little better. Serge Ibaka. And obviously Kevin Durant was absolutely terrific. And even though they blew a big lead, they did win the game. So I think psychologically for Oklahoma City, they found out we can win a game without Russell Westbrook. And by the way, we can win a game on the road without Russell Westbrook. And if they get back home, I don't think it's going to be much of a problem. So I think, again, best team in the league, number one seed for them in their conference. They need to finish off Houston tonight, and I think they will.
You're listening to The Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio. Scott Pritchard alongside Brett Grant. We're live in Worldwide Vegas Video Network. This is the part of the show where Brett and I put money into your pocket as we together put you on the right side.
Right side today, I guess I get to go first. You're so courteous. I get to go first all the time.
Gentleman.
Goes
first.
I have no idea what I did on Wednesday because we didn't have a show on Thursday and then I wasn't
because
here
of the Dodger game
on Friday. But I'm going to go to baseball. Today I'm going to go to a game involving the New York Mets and the Miami Marlins. The now 3-10 at home Miami Marlins. I'm going to look at the total. A very low total in the game at 6.5. Harvey, the young rookie who's been terrific for the Mets, who's 4-0 with a 1.54 ERA, Matt Harvey, and a whip of .69. Wasn't terrific in his last start against the Dodgers, but in his starts, the Mets have been scoring lots of runs. In fact, 7 in his last 2 starts. And he gave up 3 in the last one. But on the other side of it, Miami's showing a little bit of life offensively. Giancarlo Stanton had a couple of 3 home runs over the weekend, as he had not had any home runs before that, but hit 3 in 2 games. And yes, it was against the Cubs, but I think it's a big deal for Miami. So I think it's with a low number the way it is, there's some value in the over in this game. So I'm going to go over 6.5 runs with the Mets and the Marlins.
Interesting that you say that, Brett, because in my notes I notice I do a lot with betting totals for baseball, and we've talked before about the Oakland A's have been on fire with questionable pitching and outstanding hitting to the tune of 21 of their 26 games have gone over the posted total. And then the Mets and Tigers both have gone over 16 times to 6 unders for the Tigers. The Mets, 16 of their 23 games have gone over the posted total. So they've been a dead over team, the Mets.
Yeah, and I just think Miami's going to help today as well. And I think Harvey had that great stretch where he was pitching lights out, and I think he's coming back down to earth just a little bit. So I expect, you know, and 6.5 is such a low total that I expect a little bit more runs. Hey, we only need a 5-2 Mets win, and we got a winner.
Well, again, if somehow, some way you can get to 3-3.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Exactly.
Because it's not going to end 3-3.
Right.
So my right side today, I'm looking at a pro basketball game, playoff game. The Indiana Pacers on the road taking on the Atlanta Hawks. The Hawks came up big in Game 3, winning convincingly against the Pacers. The Hawks are favored by, well, last night when I submitted the info to my good buddy Jacob Cannon here at Vegas Video Network, the Pacers were favored by 2. It's been bet down to 1.5. The Hawks are favored by 1.5. The early money has come in on the Pacers, so it's certainly gone my way. I do have the Pacers plus the 2. It's 1.5 today. I think this Atlanta Hawk team with Josh Smith, Al Horford, this team is a complete fraud. Do they have talent? Yes. Do they have any heart? No. No, they do not have any heart. I want teams that are proven. I want teams that are hungry, that play good, tenacious defense. The Indiana Pacers, man, I love their coach. I love the way this team will get after it. I look for the Pacers to win the game straight up. The 1.5 is a bargain. I have them at plus 2 for you. Take the Pacers. Plus the 1.5 points. Ring up the ringer. See the cashier. All right, the bell appears under the weather today.
Well, it's Monday.
Is it the bell or is it me?
It's just Monday.
It can't be me,
it's
right?
It's you.
No,
yeah.
Are you sure?
You got the touch of an orangutan over there. We haven't talked a lot about the Eastern Conference playoffs, and Miami's obviously already finished off that. The Bulls lead the Nets 3-1. This series you mentioned, 2-1, and the Celtics avoided elimination yesterday against the Knicks. Anything in there you wanted to talk about? We got about a minute left.
Other than the fact that I said going in, I love the Bulls, and even though the Nets were favored in this series against Chicago, I don't like D-Will. I think Lopez is a bit soft as well. Gerald Wallace, I mean, they do have some talent with Brooklyn, but they lack heart, man. They lack consistency. The Bulls, you know what you're going to get. I don't like randomness. I like predictable situations, and the Bulls will bring the defense. They will bring the energy and the effort. Doesn't mean that they're going to win and or cover each and every game, but, boy, I love this team as a dog. They're up 3-1. Now they're the big favorite, obviously, to win this series. So we'll see how it plays out.
Well, Saturday's game, you go by the zigzag theory. The Nets up 12, 3 minutes to go in the game, and they were zagging. It was perfect. And then Nate Robinson went crazy. The game goes into triple overtime, and the Bulls win and cover in that spot. Just a fact of them not having the heart, as you say, to finish it off? Or how much credit do you give the Bulls for an incredible comeback?
I give the Bulls credit because a lot of teams would have mailed it in and conserved energy for the next game. But the Nets, they've been doing this all year. They've overmatched with talent, but they lack the heart, and they can't close, man. It's like in everyday life, can you close the sale? The only thing that matters at the end of the day is the final score.
So, you're good at closing ex-wives.
I am. Yes, I've been. Oh, you know what? I'm fortunate.
You're 2-2.
I'm perfect. I'm 0-2 or 2-0. But anyone can get married and divorced, but can you come out of it unscathed?
That's impossible.
that takes some skill.
Have the scars healed
and
yet?
As soon as I learn it, I'll share it with you.
We've got a minute left to go.
You're listening to The Odds Couple on Vegas Video Network. We're live and worldwide Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Las Vegas time, simulcast on KSHP AM 1400 radio. My name is Scott Pritchard. Great having you with us. Check me out, PritchardsPicks.com, VegasInsider.com, RefPicks.com. For Brett Grant, I'm Scott Pritchard. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.